We're going to go ahead and get started. Good morning, afternoon to everyone here. Thank you for attending. We're going to talk about Skype for Business and our journey at Accenture. My name is Don Galzerano. I've been with Accenture for about 15 years now. I'm the service delivery manager for messaging and collaboration. So I operate Skype for Business as one of the things that I do. My program manager here is Bill Schultz. I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Schultz. I've been with Accenture for about 17 years. And I am the program manager, so I'm responsible for projects and projects that affect Skype and all of operations for Skype.
Okay. So we're going to share our Skype story with you today. We will take questions as we go. And we will also save some time at the very end, because I know generally people will have questions. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Just a little bit about Accenture. Many of you are familiar with the Accenture brand. We're a very large organization, primarily known for our consulting services and our outsourcing services. Lesser known is that Accenture, we have a very large internal IT organization that has to support this very large global business that we have. We have over 375,000 employees that operate in over 200 countries. So as you can see, we have a very large global footprint. And supporting the business itself is a very large undertaking. Just a little bit more about Accenture and our internal IT organization. Again, quite large. Almost 400,000 email accounts, over 382,000 workstations that we have to support amongst, you know, all of the different office locations, different geographic requirements that we have to meet the requirements of our customers, and, you know, quite a large undertaking for a very large organization. And we're going to talk about how this translates into how we operate Skype here in a second. We've been on a multi-year journey since really 2000. We are pushing very hard to move away from the traditional IT model into a digital-powered organization. So our CIO, Andrew Wilson, has made it his number one goal to transform Accenture IT into a digital organization. And Skype for Business is a big piece of that story as we continue to work differently, collaborate across the globe, work remotely, and many of the things to come along with being a truly digital organization. So Bill's going to talk a little bit about our Skype solution as it stands today, some of the benefits, and how we got there.
Hello, everyone. How many of you attended our session last year? You don't count. Just a few of you, okay. So we're going to cover more operationally what we do at Accenture and less what we covered in the last session last year. Here's kind of a look at the evolution of Skype for Business. Accenture's been in it from the very beginning, from Office Communicator in 2007 all the way up to Skype for Business now. As I said, I'm the program lead, which means I'm responsible for projects and operations. And we run, as we deploy new features and new features are deployed, we run projects to deploy those features so that we don't impact our project team or our operations team. And we find that's very important in having a continuously functioning system. Here are some of the numbers. We've already talked about 400,000 accounts at Accenture. We're hosted globally at four different data centers. We have highly resilient network in our data centers. We have failover between our data centers. We're federated with about 800 clients, and everybody at Accenture is enabled for some sort of basic capability with Skype. IM presence, audio, and dialing conferencing at a bare minimum. Some more numbers. Essentially, you can see that we have 325,000 users enabled for sharing, 276,000 users enabled for video, and 77,000 users enabled for enterprise voice. And all of our users are enabled for Skype for Business Mobile where we can. And really, if you look at this, you see that not all of our users are obviously enabled for everything, and that's a function of our business and the requirements of our business. We don't just enable everybody. We have some pretty strict business rules around that. So the benefits that we see of moving to Skype for Business Quite obviously, the biggest one is brand recognition. You know, as you move from Link 2013 to Skype, everybody's familiar with Skype. Even my kids know Skype. Everybody knows how to use Skype. So that's a pretty big one. And then the other thing that we see is with the move to the new Skype client, the ability to use Skype for meeting broadcasts, which is very important to us to be able to expand our service to do larger meetings. Some of the other benefits we see is we do expect to see some savings as we get prepared to go to Skype Online and move to the online service, which is our ultimate goal. And then some improved user experience. We really like the new survey and what it provides, and we'll talk a little bit more about how we integrate that. So you can see here we have some massive numbers in the number of audio conferencing minutes that we do, over 180 million minutes a month in audio conferencing. And our growth in enterprise voice and peer-to-peer has just grown astronomically over the past 5 years. So we've been growing pretty big here. On the sharing side, too, we continue to see a lot of high growth. And now, in fact, almost half of our sessions on Skype for Business involve some sort of sharing. And two, we are really pushing video. We think it's the next big thing. And, you know, all of Skype for Business has really allowed us to kind of align with our strategy to right-size our real estate investments within Accenture. As well as, you know, as you guys know, none of us really work 9-to-5 anymore, right? We all kind of work when and where we're needed, and we work with our teams globally as necessary. So Skype really allows us to connect our teams, you know, whether you're at home or on the road. So that's a big benefit that we see for Skype. Accenture is federated with more than 800 clients. We use an enclosed and secure federation. And in the world of ubiquitous IM, we think that Skype for Business is pretty important as a secure alternative for us to use. Again, some more benefits here on federation. The cost savings is a big piece, but also we think that even bigger than that is just allowing us to collaborate with our clients, you know, effectively. I think that's the biggest benefit we see. So looking at audio is obviously the most important thing. And you can see here almost 100% of our conferences are on Skype for Business. I mean, that's huge. And we've seen massive savings as well from our move to Skype for Business. You know, almost 83% reduction in our conferencing costs. So, you know, everybody basically uses Skype for everything nowadays in our company. One of the biggest things is that as we've moved to Skype, we have started to reduce and remove some of our legacy handsets, which has also provided some additional savings. One of the things that we've looked to as we've rolled out Skype to make sure that audio quality is as good as we can get it is we've offered standard headsets and made sure that our drivers and everything align on our laptops so that everybody gets the same experience. Finally here for me, here's kind of our journey that we've undergone for the past couple of years for Skype for Business. We finished deploying Link 2013 in FY15 when our fiscal year runs into September. So we started the pilot for our Skype for Business client. And then last fiscal year, we deployed the client and had that rolled out. We also started upgrading our server backend to Skype for Business, and we took a slow and a cautious approach on rolling that out just to make sure that we didn't impact our business. And we expect to wrap that up in the next couple weeks here. Additionally, we've been piloting Skype for Meeting Broadcast, and we expect to make that an offering. And finally, this fiscal year, we expect to start to move to the cloud. And that's our big journey this year is we're starting our pilot for the cloud, starting to prepare for that. And next fiscal year, we hope to start migrating users into the cloud. So that's my part of the presentation. And I hope, too, as you listen to us, you know, we're not going to give you the silver bullet for operating Skype, but we hope you can take a few things out of this presentation that may help you with your customers and with your user experience on Skype. And so, Donald, I'll give it to you to talk about how we operate this beast.
All right. So, as we talked about before, Accenture is an extremely large organization. And Skype is now to the point where it can't go down. So for those of you who have Skype at your organization, you're probably familiar with this concept where it's become so mission critical that when we first started with Office Communicator, if the service went down for 10 minutes, it was an inconvenience. Now it's a catastrophe. Okay? Now I get, you know, a personal message, right, from of our key leaders at Accenture telling us, you know, this just can't happen. It's critical to our operations. It's critical to what we do. So how do we operate at Accenture? 400,000 accounts. Well, we have three guiding principles that we like to stick to. Understanding our customer expectations, designing to meet those expectations, and then educating our customer base. This is extremely important, right? Understanding your customer expectations. And I think that in the early days of Office Communicator, right, Office Communicator was a really great tool to use to communicate to IM. It replaced some of those legacy tools that we had in the marketplace, like AOL Instant Messenger, for example. Now our customers demand high-quality service 24/7, 365 days a year. They demand 99.99% uptime, and there are also expectations in terms of the quality of their Skype experience. It's not just having the service up. Okay? So understanding that, we had to design to meet these requirements. Okay? We had to design our network infrastructure. We had to architect Skype itself. We had to do a lot of things to meet these lofty expectations. And then finally, there's a third component to this, which is often overlooked, and that is educating our customers, right, about the appropriate use of Skype. Okay? Most of us in this room, if not everyone, has a cell phone, right? We all understand that if we go on vacation in the Himalayas, our cell phone is likely not going to work. Okay? Our customers, you will find today, still don't get that Skype is only as good as the network that it runs on. So if you have a key executive taking a call from their wireless card or from a very busy coffee shop on a saturated network, right, they're likely to have a poor experience that cannot be impacted by the internal IT team. So we spent a lot of time and effort trying to educate our customer base along with improving the service. Full disclosure, the original graphic that I had on here got edited and censored by Accenture Marketing, okay, along with the text that I wanted to put with it. This gentleman's a lot more calm than the people that I've dealt with sometimes in the past. You know, I don't know about anyone in this audience, but we've all probably been there. Someone says, Skype sucks. Right, there's you know, these people who are out there who just absolutely have a bad experience, and you don't know why. Well, there's a number of different reasons for this, and we're going to talk about how to avoid this, right? Because it really is a great tool, and we've come to depend on it at Accenture. By the way, we had a little section at Accenture. It was called, we were reading what was called like a mean tweets, and someone brought it up to me. And they said, you know, the guy who runs Skype should be fired. I said, you're right. You know, we should go find that guy and get him right now. So, operating at hyperscale. These are the four components of operating at hyperscale. Fortification, monitoring and analytics, process, and governance. Right? Without these four principles, we are unable to effectively deliver the type of service that we want for our customers. Right. We define fortification as building your solution so that you can experience multiple failures at multiple layers with no impact to your customer. Right. They are completely blind to those failures. Monitoring and analytics ties back to the quality of experience that your customer is going to have. If you don't know what the call quality looks like, right, down to the user level, to the office level, right, you cannot improve their experience. You can only operate on anecdotal feedback of someone having a poor call, which becomes nearly impossible to solve that problem. Right? And then finally, you need to have the right governance and the right processes in place to support all of this, to run this solution, to keep it current, to keep it secure, to keep it safe. In the keynote yesterday, there was a lot of talk about security, right? And a big part of Skype for Business is making sure that your servers are up to date, that they're secure, that you're on the latest CUs, that you've got the right security patches. Okay, so let's talk about it. So how do we do this? So fortification, the first piece is our hosting approach. We have a diversified hosting approach. We have data centers around the world that host our Skype for Business pools. There are multiple pools in each one of these data centers. And each one of these, each one of these locations is paired with the other. So Washington is paired with Frankfurt, and Manila is paired with Bangalore in case we have to execute a failover. So our users are spread across these four hosting locations, which diversifies the risk in case we were to have an outage. And you know, using a diverse set of hosting locations has helped us get a number of benefits. Okay? Most importantly, right, we now have the ability to deliver on the four nines of uptime that we promise our business for basic functionality. Okay, so inside of these data centers, the fortification continues. Right? We have redundancy at every level. Okay? We also have two MPLS carriers going in and out of the data center. We also have two ISP circuits in each one of these locations, right, in case that we have a carrier outage, that the traffic continues to flow. And you see we have redundancy at every key core network component. When we were still running Link 2010, 75% of all issues that we saw with Skype, whether it was poor quality or outage, were all network related. And we went through great pains, right, to fortify against this. When we talked about understanding customer expectations and designing to meet them, this was the building block. Start at the core and work our way out. We had to have the right solution built in the data center. Also, this equipment is dedicated to Skype so that we do not run into change management collisions in the process. One of the other issues that we had in the past was, you know, we were constantly in collision with changes for other applications when we had, you know, shared environments running across this network equipment. This is Bill's favorite slide. I'm going to let him talk about our high capacity backbone. This is near and dear to his heart.
You can help here. So Accenture, we've deployed a high capacity network that expands the world globally, and we've basically, each one of these yellow dots is a data center, and we've tied into our data centers, and Link actually resides in what they call a super pop location, which is basically a convergence point for the carriers, right? And so we're there, we're with the carriers, it allows us to react fast if we need to upgrade our bandwidth or get a new carrier online or do whatever we need to do there. So that's very important for us to be able to manage our network. Additionally, this new network is resilient, highly resilient. We have multiple links running between the data centers. And then additionally, we have multiple links running out to our offices. We haven't been able to get away from regional MPLS carriers entirely, but we still utilize them. But the biggest thing is that we've basically become our own carrier in a sense that we manage a lot of our internal network now. Which has led to great quality increases and allows us to also focus on problem subnets, which we find to have a great quality impact. So, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
No, thanks, Bill. Okay. The next piece of fortification is talking about high availability and disaster recovery. Disaster recovery being a key point. Skype inherently is... has high availability, right? And what I want to say about that is make sure that you work closely with Microsoft to understand your business requirements and that you architect to them in terms of how you design your pools. From a disaster recovery perspective, right, because of the high expectations of our customers, we have to be able to endure, right, a complete data center outage. Even though we have architected our solution to be able to withstand multiple failures at multiple layers, right, we still have to be prepared for that smoking hole in the ground. Or perhaps both of our carriers go down and we can't move MPLS traffic. So we have gone through great lengths to work with Microsoft to get the failover capability working for a customer at our scale, and we are able to fail over back and forth between our pooled pairs. We have successfully done this for all of our users multiple times, right? And we practice it. We practice it, practice it, practice it. We've got the procedures to do it. As soon as these pools go down, basic functionality is restored within 3 minutes, and we have the procedures in place, right, to execute the failover within 15 minutes and bring the solution back up. A key point here that is often overlooked also with failover is recognizing and understanding that you will likely be in a failed over state for an extended period of time if you have to do this. And making sure that your network, right, for the region that you're going to fail over can handle the capacity of running all of that traffic for a period of time. And we're constantly analyzing that as well and making sure that we are prepared that in the event of a failover, right, those target pools can handle that capacity, that the underlying network infrastructure can handle that traffic. GeoDNS. This is Satish's baby here. This is another thing that we've implemented to ensure some level of resiliency. In the past, we were dependent on a single data center for authentication. So if users were to log on, they would authenticate in our Washington, D.C. location. With GeoDNS, they can authenticate at the pools closest to them. So in the past, you know, effectively, if we had lost Washington, we lost all of Skype. Okay, no longer do we have that. Now regional users can still access Skype via their local pools.
We assume that if we're failing over, it's everything. Yeah. We assume that it's basically a major failure event. Because there's such large, we have so much resiliency within our data center that it's unlikely that, unless it's a total failure in the data center, that we're going to be able to lose that.
We have the ability to fail over without failing over the telephony component.
Yeah, we can, yeah.
So we have done that, we have practiced that, but when we run the exercise, we generally assume that if both MPLS carriers out or both of our core switches, which are carrier grade and also have redundancy and resiliency within those switches, if that all goes out, we are assuming sort of the smoking hole scenario.
Yeah, we do have, and we didn't want to clutter the slides too much, we do have additional pools of mediation servers in other data centers close to those locations. So we are able to, like Don said, have some resiliency there, additional resiliency there.
Sorry, is there a question?
So the question is, with pools of our size, what is the time to fail over?
Yeah, it's about 5 minutes for the first initial users to get restored. It's about 40 minutes for everyone to have full functionality restored. It's basically a gradual restoration. So the long pole in the tent is that last user, right? So that's about 40 minutes. So that's what we would report to the business.
Hopefully our CIO is not that last user.
Yeah. So the question is, when we move the telephony traffic, how do we handle the legalities? So I assume you're talking about India in particular, who has the strictest law? Yeah. So right now, we do not offer those services
in India,
at the current moment. So that is a big thing. And many of the Middle Eastern countries also legally do not allow it. I don't know, Satish, do you have any, are there scenarios that you can speak to that?
Thanks, Satish.
Okay. Satish is our subject matter expert. He can answer this question in more detail for you.
Yeah. So for AMR and EMEA region, we are doing this mostly the voice failover. So we have a circuit which coming in AMR, terminating at a different data center, primary and secondary. So whenever we have a failover, the traffic which is our Aspen is a primary data center. We fail over that data center to Frankfurt, but mediation component goes to a different data center, NTTA. So all the incoming circuit will come there, and signaling will just go to the Frankfurt. So that your incoming call will terminate in the same country. For Manila, we are doing this from the Philippines and Singapore. We don't cover that India just because we are not offering this there.
So basically what he's saying is that backup resiliency that we have within our, because we have the separate data center where we have some mediation pools and stuff, that comes into play when we lose our primary data center. So in the Americas,
And we try to keep that in the same country just for the SIP circuit requirement.
Yeah. So in the Americas, if we lose our primary data center, we have a secondary data center that's very close to it that also has SIP trunks to terminate there that will be used to make the calls.
And we have a same number of mediation servers in the secondary data center to support that capacity.
If we lose both.
Yeah. So the telephony.
We hope we don't lose both. No.
Yeah. Okay. So the outcome of the fortification efforts that we have, as you can see, it's been an extremely long time since we've had a black or severe brownout with Skype for Business. These numbers were reported when we created this presentation on August the 5th. Excuse me. These numbers still hold true today and are growing. So our efforts have paid large dividends. Next, we're going to talk about governance a little bit. What do we do from a governance perspective? Well, I can talk a lot about all the meetings that we have and everything, but what I really want everyone to take away from this is that in terms of governance, we needed to make sure that we built a process that spanned outside of just the Skype team. Skype has so many dependencies, particularly with the network, and with the network teams and with Active Directory, right, and workstations as well, that we needed to make sure that we had regular meetings that pulled these key players in. And we do this twice a day, every day, to go through all of the key measures that we have for keeping the service running. So two key components of governance is incident management, which is a big one. So we have 24/7 coverage for incident management, which is streamlined. We have playbooks. Everything has been industrialized for rapid restoration. And all of the teams involved, right, in Skype for Business, right, are pulled into this incident management process immediately so that we're not spending time spinning our wheels looking at whether or not it was Skype, whether it was the network, whether it was Active Directory, whether it's the circuit in the local office, right? We immediately pull all of those players in. We also have twice daily operational calls where we review all of the KPIs, our quality and everything that's going on, and we create action items and system investigation requests based on those meetings and the findings in those meetings. We also have a very, very specific and a very complex change management board that dictates when and how we make changes to the infrastructure, which includes changes that are outside our core area of influence. So we don't allow the network team, for example, to make firewall changes on our solution in the middle of the week that close firewall rules and shut it down. Okay, so probably the biggest piece of this that we do differently at Accenture is our monitoring and analytics, right? How do we make the service better? So understanding our user quality, understanding who's being impacted is, right, the next step in the evolution to providing a quality service, right? The system can be up and available 99.99% of the time, and some of your users can have a garbage experience. That's just reality, okay? Depending on where they're located, right, their workstation image, there are multiple reasons that people can have a bad Skype experience that reside outside of your Skype pools. And the best way to deal with that is to understand what's going on around the world with your users at all times. So how do we do this? We look at the following things. We look at quality, DIAG IDs, and key health indicators. And the quality piece is something that you may be familiar with. you know, the monitoring server that's available with Skype has a lot of great information in it. At Accenture, we took this one step further, and we triangulate that data with other data that we have available to us on the network and workstation sides. So every workstation deployed is basically, you know, every endpoint is a little monitoring agent in a way. And we are able to triangulate, as I said, on where the poor quality is happening. So we look at our quality globally. What's our global average? Well, it might be, let's say, you know, 0.1% poor call quality. But as we start to dig deeper, we look, okay, what is it by region? Then what is it by major office? Then what is it by subnet? We go down to that level, and then we also look at it by workstation type, and we drive actions to remediate. We don't wait for a problem. As soon as we see quality outside of the norm, we immediately take action. We log the problem, and we start the investigation. This is the best way to help our users have a better experience. And we use all three of these things in that process. You know, another good example is the workstation. we were able to go and pull, you know, and understand which workstations are having a problem, right? So we would have, you know, people complaining, oh, my Skype experience is terrible, right? Well, we would find that certain users who had older workstations didn't have the right audio drivers on their machine. And we were able to push those out to all of those users. It immediately fixed that problem, increases global quality, increased customer satisfaction, all simultaneously just by using the power of data. This is a high-level representation of really, you know, how we do this. So I basically described this earlier. We pull the data from, you know, the Skype for Business monitoring database. We also use SCOM for alerts, right, to alert us of when we're having a problem, which also allows us to mobilize quickly for incidents. Right, and infrastructure data. We have a number of different requirements for how we operate where we integrate all this data, and we look at different views of this data, which I'll show you here in a second. Right, and then we look at that data, and based on what we see in the patterns, right, we are able to predict in some manner what's going on and what's going to happen. Right, as we see call quality, that the trends start to spike in certain areas, we are able to get in front of that right before I get the angry phone call. This is just a representation of essentially how we do it, right? Most people are familiar with this layer here. We also pull in data from this layer into our custom reporting solution, and we use that, like I said, to triangulate on our problems. this here, these are some just example reports of, you know, what we are looking at every single day. Okay, these two reports here depict, you know, two what we call managed scenarios, which means both of the users are inside the Accenture network, and we have complete control end-to-end of that experience. And we have expectations around what that should be, right? So at any given time, if one of the regions starts to experience, you know, an increase or exceeds the thresholds, we immediately make an adjustment, open up an investigation, and start to remediate. Sure can. Sorry?
What happened on August 5th?
What happened on August 5th? Satish, do you know what happened on August 5th?
Yeah. Sorry, I can't tell you exactly. I mean, we're talking about the difference between, you know, 0.25 and sometimes it's just a, you know, network interruption. It'd be hard to say, but that's exactly the kind of question I would ask these guys, and they would go and tell me.
Yes, even if it's below our threshold, I'd still get a question from them.
This is some additional examples of what we look at. Right? We look at our workstations. Which workstations are causing us the most problems? What are the top DIAG IDs that are being thrown? Right, and we would take this and spin this into an investigation and look at those laptops and see, and we would get a couple of them, we would look at the image, we would test them, figure out whether or not there might be a driver problem, you know, maybe an old version of Windows, You know, there can be a number of different reasons, but we drive that investigation out, and then we make a holistic change so that we're not constantly chasing down individual user problems. It's all about managing the entire landscape and our user base. So this is the quality impact of our efforts in terms of fortification and our analytics. So we have driven our quality down in the last 18 months to record highs in terms of quality. This is our internal managed number here. This is the ideal user setup. Both users are inside the Accenture network and they're plugged in, right, with a LAN Ethernet cable. So that's the most stable. That's down to 0.4%. So 4 out of every 1,000 calls experience an issue. The wireless is a tougher one, right? If you've worked with this, it's a little harder to manage, right? But we have driven this down through a combination of remediating local offices and also, you know, upgrading, you know, wireless drivers, things like that. So this has been a massive improvement, and this is translated back in our customer satisfaction report. All at the same time, right, our volume continues to grow. So we're delivering a better service and delivering more of it all at the same time.
Sure. So the big thing about that slide is it's important to share this with your leadership. Like, if you have something that shows your improvements in your quality, this way you can show that you can kind of filter out that noise that you get that, hey, Skype isn't working right, Skype isn't great, right? If we can show this to our leadership and share, hey, look at how we've driven down the quality. Yeah, we're going to still see some spikes outside, but this is a perfect example of something that we can show to our leadership that says, look, we're driving quality numbers and they're looking really good.
So. Yeah. We also benchmark ourselves against other industry players to understand how we are doing. And that's also all good information. Because, you know, if you're an IT operator like Bill and I, you inevitably get, you know, negative feedback from someone in the business about how poor the quality is. And it's always good to really understand how are we truly doing, right? How are we doing? How are we doing against the industry, right? And to show the improvement that you have. And generally what we do is, because we have access to so much data, right, when people bring problems to us, we are generally able to resolve them and demonstrate that they are, you know, user-specific issues or perhaps office-specific issues versus a holistic problem with the solution itself, right, which can give Skype a bad name. Okay. We'll talk quickly about process. Won't spend a lot of time here. But one of the things that definitely, you know, helped us drive quality was, you know, strong processes and procedures and knowledge capital. So we have a centralized wiki that you see there on the right that has everything you could ever want to know about operating our Skype solution that's available to all of our CIO group, as well as our key support team members. It helps us onboard people faster. But with so many players involved in Skype, right, we can't operate in a silo. We require too many different parties to help us. All of that information is here. Who to call, right, what their phone number is, right, where to find the knowledge capital that you need to run maintenance, et cetera. Two other things we've done from a process perspective is we started using the Skype for Business survey with a new version, and we respond to all what I'll call complaints. So anyone who gives a 1 or 2 star rating after a call, we follow up with them to find out what was going on. Again, we help. This has really helped us drive out individual problems and driven user satisfaction. Our customers feel that someone is listening, right? So when they know that when they report a problem, someone is going to give them individualized attention and help them understand what happened on that day and tell them what that they can do to prevent it from happening again. The other thing that we use here is what we call the Accenture Stream. This is essentially our internal version of Facebook. It allows us to get crowdsourcing information for people to ask questions about the service. Very popular. We have several thousand people following our Skype page. And it allows us, again, to interact with our users so they don't feel that they're stranded on an island when they have problems or frustration. They feel that they're empowered in many respects to do something about it. This is just a quick representation of, you know, the types of responses that we do on a regular basis with surveys, right? The problems are usually all over the board.
My favorite is outrage.
Yes, outrage is a good one. So there's a number of different things, and many of these things we can immediately impact. You know, audio devices, configurations, drivers, right? We see that in a company as large as ours, and the diversity in terms of the workstation images. Okay, so finally, where do we want to go? So these are the things, right, that are on our roadmap. Are the number one most important thing for us and the direction we've been given is getting to the cloud, right? And we are very aggressively working with Microsoft to get to the cloud. We are also leveraging Microsoft's Skype operations framework in the delivery of this, so we're partnering with them. We plan to have several hundred users online and in the cloud by the end of this year. So it's a very large undertaking for us, but that is the goal, right? There are a number of things that we need to sort through, but make no mistake about it, that is where we are going, and we are going to move as aggressively and as quickly as we can in our quest to become a digital business. I'll also just mention quickly that, you know, integrating Skype with other video endpoints is a big one for us. We use a lot of different video endpoints, very large rooms by Cisco, by Cyvez, and by some of the other major vendors, right? And we have a number of different things on our menu to do that. I don't know that we have really landed on one single solution. I think that we're trending more towards, you know, using multiple solutions. Okay, here are the gentlemen involved here in the room that helped me put this all together. I saved a few minutes for questions, so if anyone would like to ask a question, otherwise you can email one of these gentlemen here. So, yes, sir. Well, we have standards. Yes. So the question was, in an organization as large as Accenture's, how do we deal with all of the different types of devices that people can use, right? And I believe you mean in terms of headsets and things like that, right, sir? So we have standards for what can be used. We don't dictate that people need to use them. However, if our end users come to us with a complaint about quality and they're not using, right, a standard device, we encourage them to get one. And oftentimes, we will procure one for them in those cases. So we have a set of devices. They've all been tested and vetted appropriately. And we say, this is what you should use if you want to have a good experience.
But you ask that headsets be used more than desk phones?
We've just started diving into desk phones. So desk phones, we only have a few hundred. We're very firmly on the path of your PC and your headset are what you should be using. Desk phones are being deployed in locations where they need those or where there's local office requirements.
When you just leave, do you recycle those headphones or
usually just go?
Yeah. Often they're procured. It depends on the organization. Some people take them with them. Some people have to turn them in. It depends on the geography and their local policies. Other questions?
I'm sorry?
Oh, the question is, what are we doing for contact center? I'm gonna take that one. You mean response groups?
Response groups, yeah. So we are working on rolling out response groups. We are doing that internally. We're basically basing it on business cases, what the use case is. We're focusing on smaller use cases. We have had some interest in this area, but we're not really looking to roll that out as a very large offering. So it's more of a small internal offering. Does that answer? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about internal help desk, too. Are you using Skype for that?
So contacting the help desk?
Yeah.
So Our help desk does use it, but they have a variety of manner that they can that our users can get in touch with the help desk. Normally, it's just a phone number. We don't have an ID right now for our help desk, so like I can't ping my help desk through Skype. But we do allow, I think that there's web chat and some other features. And normally what happens is the service desk personnel will get on the phone and say, let me ping you by Skype. And then usually the conversation takes from there on Skype.
As you're looking to go to the to move to Skype for Business in the cloud, have you already migrated all of your Exchange mailboxes? Are they all on-prem? Are you going to be in a hybrid Exchange deployment? Have you looked at this? Because this is the scenario we're in.
Yep.
Hybrid Exchange, hybrid PSTN with Skype, and it's kind of a problem, especially if we talk about, well, we've got, like, it's GE. We've got about 500,000 accounts, and we're keeping, like, 100,000 on-prem. So it's, have you all worked through that yet? Do you have a good strategy for
it? We're in the process of doing it right now. The gentleman in charge of that is sitting right here if you want to talk to him. But yes, we understand that that's a requirement. That is planned to be completed this year. So we have already migrated some portion of those mailboxes for testing. And we're using those, when I say for testing, for Skype online testing. And but there is a plan to migrate all of our users to VNext this fiscal year. I'm sorry, sir. Can you say that a little bit louder?
Yeah. Do you currently talk to
IP-based systems? Is that what you're asking? If we
yes.
Over video is what you're. Yeah. So, we. I mean, I don't think we currently do anything like that. We have had over a number of years. This has been a goal of ours, is to integrate Skype with other video systems. We've tried a number of technologies and just never really quite fit. We are still looking at it. It is very important to our leadership to get that to work. As soon as we can find a technology that really fits with us, we will implement it.
I'll say that we have tested successfully some VMR solutions, which we are looking at. We are still in the piloting phase that we expect to have deployed within the next 12 months. So the business is just making a final decision on what best suits their needs. So there are some quality considerations we looked at, you know, using a VMR solution from the cloud, and you know, sending video traffic over the internet was challenging.
Yeah.
So we had to go back to the drawing board, but that is in our roadmap.
We're trying to convince our leadership to put an MPLS circuit to them.
So internal traffic flows over MPLS,
so
yes.
Business,
if it's internal traffic, yes. So we don't direct traffic, for example, from an office out over the internet through the ISP carriers.
We do have QoS in place for all of our traffic. So we do, yeah. I mean, all of our audio traffic is the highest prioritized traffic.
I'm sorry. Do you have a question, sir?
Sure, yeah. Based on your experience with your on-prem, as you go to the cloud, Are you going to pursue actively architecting that with Microsoft just so that based on your what you've learned that they don't deploy a low grade infrastructure versus a premium architecture?
I know exactly where you're going with this. So
we'll let you answer.
So the key question has been, and we feel very good about the Skype solution that we run today. Okay. And the question has been, are we going to take a step backwards quality-wise? Okay, that absolutely cannot happen. So I'll just put that out there. So what we're going to do is we're going to work very closely with Microsoft and determine what the best way to push, you know, how to push the traffic. Right now, the initial thinking is that, right, we would have to connect with them via express route, right, for our internal traffic, right, so that we are not exposing all of our Skype calls right to the nuances of the internet, if we were to do that. So that is the early thinking. We're very early on, but yes, we will, you know, because of our size and because of our relationship with Microsoft, we're going to work hand in hand through that. So, but that is an absolute necessity. We will not take a step backwards because our business demands the opposite. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, I'll probably be reaching out to you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? We're about to get kicked out of the room, I think.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.